Are you ready for the Word of God here tonight? Yeah, here we go. Of course, this is the greatest purpose of every service, you know, on our side, meaning, of course, we're here to worship and to glorify Him and to exalt Him. But the greatest thing that we could ever receive in any service is the Word of God. Amen. The Word, it all begins with the Word. It all comes back to the Word. The Holy Ghost is the author of the Word of God. Amen. Turn with me in your Bibles. Go over to Matthew chapter 7. And tonight I'm going to call this message, Who Will Go to Heaven? Who will go to heaven? Boy, this is an interesting question, an interesting title to a sermon. And of course, we know many people have many different answers to that question. But tonight we're going to take a look at what the Lord would say to answer that question. Praise the Lord. Go over to Matthew chapter 7. And of course, I've been kind of on a theme over the last several weeks. 3 weeks ago, I preached a message called the Keys to a Victorious New Year. And we started to look at what we called the stewardship mentality, found over there in Luke chapter 16. How many of you know that the scripture says that we are not owners of anything, but we are stewards of that which belongs to God? The word steward means that we're a manager, we're an overseer, right? We're a caretaker of everything that belongs to God. And we said this, we've got to build that mentality into our heart, and that we've got to get to a place in our life where we go before God, we bow our knees before Him, and we say, Father God, it's all Yours. Nothing is mine. Therefore, what would You have me to do with all that is Yours? Folks, we got to have that stewardship mentality, right? And it's that submission, it is that humility that will lead us into God's will for our lives. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so we talked about that. We talked about the things that God wants us to be faithful in. And we saw the small things or the simple things. And we talked about things like praying, things like going to church, things like reading our Bibles. How many of you know Jesus said, He's like, if I can't trust you in the small things, I can't trust you with more. And so we started to talk about that and see that. Amen. And we gave you several keys to a victorious life in this new year. And then 2 weeks ago, we taught a message called Put Down the Victim Mentality. Put down the victim mentality. And when we say victim, what we mean by that is the grievance mentality. A grievance mentality is this way of thinking that believes that everything and everybody in life is unfair, or everything is against you, or there's always a reason to complain, there's always a reason to be defeated. How many of you know it says over there in Romans 8, 37, it says, no, we are more than conquerors through Him that has loved us. Amen? We are not to have a victim mentality. We're supposed to have a victorious mentality. How many of you know it says in that same chapter, Romans 8, 31, if God be for you, who or what can stand against you? Right? How about verse 32? Right? If God spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not also in Christ freely give us all things? You know, provide for us and give us that victory. Amen. And we said this, you can't be a victim and be victorious at the same time. And we saw what it was about God that gave Him a victorious mindset. Remember over there in Isaiah chapter 46, right around the 9th verse, it says that God sees the end from the beginning. You know, He sees the victory of a thing before that thing even gets going. You know, remember in Ecclesiastes 7, 8, it says the end of a matter is better than the beginning. Amen. Remember what it said about Jesus over there in Hebrews 12, 2. It says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despised the shame, and then sat down at the right hand of God. How did Jesus endure that cross? Because He used the eyes of faith, or the eyes of joy. He looked past that trial that He was about to face, and He saw the victory at the end of it, which was God providing an entire family to Himself. Folks, we are going to have to lose the tunnel vision over all of our circumstances that are right in front of us. We're going to have to not be consumed by the trials, the challenges that are always, you know, right in front of us. we're going to have to take our eyes of faith, and we're going to have to look towards the end of that thing. And remember how Israel never would do that? God said, I've made you the head, not the tail, above, not beneath. He said, I've made you the lender, not the borrower. He said, I've provided all these victories for you. But remember how they would not believe that? And they continued with a victim mentality. They were supposed to look to the end of the matter and see themselves victorious, see themselves with God providing for them. Amen? And so that's how we make sure we prevent the victim mentality. And then last week we taught a message. Of course, again, the victim mentality, you can't be in God's will if you're stuck in a victim mentality. God's will is not a victim mentality. God's will is a victorious mentality. Amen. And then last week we taught a message called God's Will, Light and Darkness. And we looked over there at the Lord's Prayer. And remember how Jesus taught us to pray, Thy kingdom come, God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And we took a look at the Lord's Prayer and we saw this. It's not just some superstitious religious prayer that we're supposed to repeat over and over just when we're in a traumatic time. How many of you know that the Lord's Prayer was not a prayer of emergency? But we've been religiously taught sometimes that we should just repeat it over and over. But Jesus in that same passage warned us not to use vain repetitions. How many of you remember that? Amen. Praise the Lord. And so God did not give us the Lord's Prayer to use it, for an emergency situation that if we just say it enough, then something good will happen. We said this about God's will. Those that will find God's will in their lives are those who are unwilling to go without it. How do you get God's will in your life? You've got to cry out for it. You've got to cry out for it. And you've got to be unwilling to go without it. Amen? Praise the Lord. And so this is just some review, catching us all up. All right. And so we're just kind of getting ready to jump into the new material here. Remember what it said in the Lord's Prayer? It says, deliver us, not into temptation, so lead us not into temptation. And we saw, of course, what that meant. The scripture makes it very clear in James 1:13, God does not tempt anybody to do evil. So, when Jesus said that, we quoted it from the King James Bible. What the scripture is saying there is the Lord does not tempt us into, sin, but he delivers us from evil. And we saw that word deliver, it means to separate us from evil. Or literally, when, Jesus is teaching on prayer, when we are in the presence of God, it should separate us from darkness. A lot of times we talk about deliverance. We think deliverance is just, casting a demon out of somebody. How many of you know there's a lot of things in our character, there's things in our actions we've got to be delivered from. God is still separating darkness, light and darkness. He did it all the way back there in the times of creation. He's still doing that in our lives right now. If we would get into his presence, I'm here to tell you, he would deliver us from things of captivity like depression and anxiety. There are some things you will not be able to medicate yourself out of in this life. There are certain things you will not be able to counsel yourself out of. You will not be able to read a self-help book out of. You're going to have to get into God's presence and allow his light to separate you from that depression, from that anxiety, from fear, from worry. How many of you know in God's presence, he will start to deliver or separate you from those things? Amen. God's will, getting into God's presence, it can separate you from sins of the flesh. It can separate you from addictions, right? Whether substance abuse or maybe bad habits like profanity and so on. Are you here tonight? Yes. Getting into God's presence is going to deliver you. Amen. It's going to separate you from something. Amen. Have you found Matthew chapter 7? Go over to verse 13. We're going to read right down through several scriptures here tonight. We're not going to go back and teach on all of it, but I do want to put it into context, and I do want to just kind of touch base on a few things that we're going to read here. Go to Matthew chapter 7, starting in verse 13. Here we go. Let's answer this question. Who will go to heaven? Oh boy. Folks, before I start reading this, I want to let you know the purpose of this message here tonight is not to get you to question your salvation. You know, the purpose of tonight is not to get you to question the salvation of other people, right? The goal of tonight's message is for all of us to personally examine our desire to do God's will in our life. Yeah. Amen. That's the first and foremost purpose of this message. Praise the Lord. So go to verse 13. Let's start there. And we're going to read down through quite a bit of scripture here tonight. It's all right if we read some scripture in church, isn't it? Amen. Jesus speaking. Jesus says this. He says, "Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles?" It says, "Even so, every good tree brings forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree brings forth evil fruit." A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit. Neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that brings not forth good fruit is cut down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits you shall know them. Not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. Uh-oh. Isn't that what I put in that text message here today? You know, not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? And in your name have we not cast out demons? And in your name have we not done many wonderful works? And then Jesus says, And when I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you that work iniquity. Therefore, whosoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him unto a wise man which builds his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that hears these sayings of mine and doesn't do them shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. All right? So there at the very end, Jesus talked about a house that stood and a house that fell. The house that stood was the house that, you know, was represented by the person that did the word of God and acted upon the word. And the house that fell was represented by the people that didn't do the word of God. Now go back up there to verse 21. Let's jump in and let's answer this question. Who will go to heaven? Are you ready? Let's read verse 21 again. Jesus says, "Not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter in the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father, which is in heaven." And then verse 22, it goes along with it, so I want to read it again. "Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? And in your name have cast out demons, and in your name done many wonderful works?" And Jesus says, "And then I will say unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you that work iniquity." Well, let's just answer this question. Who will go to heaven? Is it everyone that just calls on the name of the Lord Jesus? Well, here you can go back up to verse 21. Just calling him Lord, Lord, Jesus says, is not enough. All right. Is it just everyone who's moral? Will everyone who's moral and a good person go into heaven? No. Is it just everyone that recites a prayer? No. Right? Oh, boy. Getting quiet in here already. And I understand when I say these things, and I've said them before reading this verse, you know, it has upset some people before. And I'm not trying to portray salvation as being a difficult thing. God isn't trying to make it harder, you know, for people to get into heaven. But we know this. Actually, it's right here in this same chapter. Can you real quickly bring up verse 13? Actually, we should have started right there. Look what Jesus said. I wasn't even planning on saying this. Jesus says, "Enter you in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate. Broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be which go in at that gate." Right? But look at verse 14. "Because straight is the gate, narrow is the way which leads to life, and there be few that find it." Boy, this passage is very challenging, because the Bible is telling us that, you know, salvation is called a narrow gate. Here's the good news. Everyone's invited to go in through that gate, but not everything is invited to go through that gate. You know, our own will is not invited to go through that gate. Our own plans and our own purposes are not invited to go through the straight gate. Are you here tonight? How many of you know it's His will that's going to count? Praise the Lord. Amen. You know, we don't want to get everybody too nervous, right? But salvation is called a narrow gate. Everyone is invited, but not everything is invited. And we need to remember that. You know, our sin is actually not invited there. Disobedience is not invited. A heart that just wants salvation for fire insurance but doesn't want to do the will of God, that mentality is not invited through that gate. You know, boy, I sure got quiet in here. Go back over to verse 21. Let's answer the question, who will go to heaven? Is it just everybody that does, you know, will everyone who performs a miracle go to heaven? Not according to this scripture. He's talking to people that were prophesying, people that were casting out demons and did many wonderful works in the name of the Lord. And Jesus still said, "I never knew you. Depart from me, those that you work iniquity." Think of all the things here. If we're not careful, we start to just think, well, good, you know, if you're just moral, that's enough. If you've just been to church enough, if you just come from a good family, if you just, you know, have a good Christian tradition. Go to verse 21, the end of verse 21. He says, "Not everyone that calls me Lord shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but those that do the will of my Father which is in heaven." Folks, why do we get saved? We get saved so that the presence and the nature of God would come on the inside of us. And when we get born again, we are born again so we can start to apply the will of God in our lives. When someone will claim salvation but then want nothing to do with God's will, we've got to really ask ourselves, right? Not that we're trying to judge somebody else, but we're just judging ourselves. If we have that mentality that says, you know, I'm a Christian, doesn't matter what I do, we better start asking ourselves why we think that way. Amen. How many of you know it's not just because we just say, well, okay, I prayed a little prayer at some point. How many of you know you got to do the will of the Heavenly Father? How many of you know when you got born again, there should be something in us that wants to obey God, wants to cry out for His will, cry out for His ways? You know, amen. Again, this isn't so we question our salvation, but we should always stir our desire up to make sure that we're pursuing God's will in this life. Why do we become Christians? So we could just, you know, go to heaven and miss hell? Well, I'll tell you what, going to heaven sure is a lot better than going to hell. But we got saved because it is the will of our Heavenly Father. We invite Jesus into our life, not to just give us fire insurance, but so that we can obey Him. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so anyway, who will go to heaven? Everyone that calls just Jesus Lord? No. Everyone who recites a prayer? No. Everyone who is moral? No. People that only do great things for God? Clearly there were people that did great things for God here and they still were excluded. You know, how about those that prophesy and cast out devils? They're automatically going to heaven? No. Wow. We need to make sure that we understand this. Who is it then? It is those that desire to do the will of the Heavenly Father. When God's presence lives on the inside of you, there will be something in you that won't let you go from obeying God. Amen. And if that isn't there in a Christian's life, we got to question ourselves and ask ourselves why. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right. We're just starting out, you know, very simple. Folks, here's just some things that I wrote down that I'm going to share with you. Greatness is not the quality of the works you do for God. I'm going to say this again. Greatness is not the quality of the works. Remember, these people were doing wonderful works. What if you have wonderful works for God, but yet you don't know Him and He doesn't know you? Think about this. Wow. Absolutely. So greatness is not the quality of the works that you do for God. Greatness is found in your depth of knowing God. Amen. Greatness is not just doing great things for God. Greatness is knowing God in a deep, in a personal way. Fellowship with your Heavenly Father. Folks, do you see this? Last week we were in Matthew chapter 6, and now we're in Matthew chapter 7. And again, Jesus is trying to lead us into fellowship with God. Folks, we cannot turn church into a dusty old ritual. We can't just, you know, turn our giving into a dusty old ritual. We can't turn prayer into a dusty old ritual. How many of you know we've got to know Him? We've got to fellowship with Him. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Notice these people. They prophesied. They spoke. The word prophesied here, it means to speak with divine utterance. It literally means to preach God's word as a mouthpiece from God, right? And yet Jesus said, you know, even though your works were so great, I did not know you. Think about this. They cast out demons. They had a deliverance ministry. They had the power of the Spirit working in their life. And still, that was not what the Father was after. Are you here tonight? Boy, it's getting quiet in here. Yes, they had a deliverance ministry. No doubt, how many of you know that that would help a lot of people? And praise God for a true deliverance ministry. Please don't get me wrong here. All right, but go down there to verse 23. Can you drop down to verse 23 and we start to get our answers for this message? Jesus says, I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Even though you called me Lord, even though you cast out demons, even though you performed wonderful works, right? Even though that you set a lot of people free, Jesus says the goal all along wasn't the wonderful works. It was knowing your Heavenly Father. Are you here? I've been trying to just, you know, set the stage for this over the last several weeks. What does this mean? That the life that means the most to God is the secret life. I'm going to say this again. The life that means the most to God is the secret life. What we do in public, even as great as it can be, is no way more valuable than the secret life that we pursue with God. You could have a successful public life with God and be a failure in secret. But here's the good news. You don't have to have the greatest works in the world, you know. You don't have to have the most visible ministry, you know, but you could be very successful in the secret life. Amen. There's a lot of people that get way more done in their prayer life that you and I will never even know their name. We will never see them, you know. We will never even, they'll never get recognition publicly. But they will have accomplished more in the Spirit than what even great people have done in public. The ministry that God is after the most is the secret ministry. What God is not after, you know, the greatest orator. He's not after, even, notice this. I mean, is God into casting out demons? Yeah. But is God into wonderful works? Yes. But here's the difference. Sometimes people try to replace fellowship with those works, right? The most important ministry is the secret ministry. You can be a public success and a private failure. Here's the trap. All of a sudden, the wonderful works become our pursuit, and God isn't our personal pursuit anymore. Folks, my goal in this life is not, you know, to be recognized for wonderful works. I don't sit and try to, you know, my life will only be validated if I cast out demons. Now, every believer can do that. We know and understand that. I'm just using that as an example. But, you know, the goal isn't trying to be, you know, the most popular minister or to have, you know, the greatest TV ministry or whatever it is. Our goal, our pursuit is not the works. Our pursuit is fellowship and knowing God. Folks, the real us is not here tonight. The real you with God will be in that secret place. Like we talked about last week, when you close that door, you get alone with God, you pray to Him in such a way that He's the only one that hears you, He's the only one that can reward you for it. Are you here tonight? Yes. Praise the Lord. See, why should we do that? Because we're after His will. Yes. Folks, we're hungry for His will. People who go to heaven want to go to heaven. See, Reverend Greer's been saying that for months. And I was honestly, to be honest, I was really choking on it. I was really like, what? Everyone wants to go to heaven. Why is he saying that? And then I started to get it, what the Holy Ghost was saying through that man. Folks, you know, when we just say, well, you know, I'm just going to say a little prayer and then forget about God. And then one day I hope I just go to heaven. Folks, people that go to heaven are the ones that want to go. They want God's will. They've got a desire for God, a hunger for God. Amen. When salvation comes to live on the inside of us, listen, and we all might fluctuate with that at times, but there should be an unwillingness in our life, no matter how low we get at times, there's an unwillingness to go without God's will in our life. Folks, have you ever been tested before? Have you ever had low times as a Christian? Oh, yeah. But have you known what I mean when no matter how low you've ever been with God, there's something in you that just won't let you give up, something that just won't give in, something that says, man, I'm just not satisfied with what I've been doing for God. I've got to pick myself up. I got to get into His will. I got to seek Him. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Amen. Praise the Lord. There should be something in us, even in our lowest point, that says, come on, pick up. That's why the Bible says, pick up those feeble knees. You know, that's the Bible saying, get going. Yeah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. God will reward those that know Him. He will reward those that want and desire Him more than He will reward a public ministry. You know, I've had people say to me, well, Pastor, you know, ministers and that, they have a greater opportunity with God. You know, they're going to be more blessed and they're, you know, and they're going to have certain privileges and things. I'm here to tell you that's not true. That's not true. Every single one of us, through the blood of Jesus, can go into His presence, can fellowship with Him, know Him. We can sit in the light of His presence. We all can be free. We can rejoice. We can get into God's will for our life. We can obey Him, and He will reward us. Amen. Praise the Lord. You can have a reputation as a strong Christian, but you could be very weak in your fellowship with God. You could have seemingly little to no public success, but you could have great success in secret. Amen. My grandmother, Virginia Stallman, boy, I tell you what, that's who she was. She did not have a public ministry, but my goodness, all of a sudden at her funeral, person after person after person, I mean, the church was packed, and they passed her on the microphone, and woman after woman after woman testified of how Virginia Stallman changed their life, and we never even knew it. We never even knew what was going on. And I tell you what, my grandmother, she was on her face in prayer the first 2 hours of every single day. She was changing the world around her in that prayer time. When I was a little kid, you know, I would try to sneak out. You know, when you're little, you want to get up early when you're real little. And my grandma Jenny, what she would tell me, she'd say, hey, when I was spending the night at her house, she'd say, you know, don't get out. Don't come out of the bedroom until at least 7 a.m. Well, of course, that got my curiosity up. And so I'm like, well, I got to find out what's going on before 7. I'm thinking, what grandma and grandpa doing? So I go out there and I sneak down the hallway and I come around the corner. Oh, I'm going to start crying. I got to stop right now. Right. I can feel it. I mean, my goodness, I already lost my voice at one moment. Now I'm about ready to cry. What are you all doing to me here tonight, right? But I come around the corner and Grandma and Grandpa are on their face before God. Amen. And they just did not want their time of fellowship with the Lord to be interrupted. And so it was reasonable to ask the little kids to stay in the bedroom until 7 a.m. because they would get up at like 5 or so and just spend that time with God. Amen. Even if you don't have a public ministry, you can be extremely successful in secret. God will visit, God will empower, God will use mightily those that want and desire Him more than even a public ministry. And I have seen this absolutely, you know, as somebody who is in public ministry, the more I succeed and accomplish in public ministry, the more obstacles there are to private ministry. Folks, there is so many obstacles trying to keep us out of a private ministry with God. Try to keep us out of that secret place. You can be very successful in business. You could be very good at your job. You know, you could have all these things going on. But if all those things have robbed your time to spend with your Heavenly Father, I'm here to tell you, something is stealing your success. Boy, that really went over well. Folks, if you are so overconsumed in this life that you have no time for God, are you here? Mm-hmm. Why did Jesus tell these people down here in verse 23, why did he say, I never knew you, depart from me, you that work iniquity? Well, it's simple. The things that they did publicly in the Lord's name, they did so that it would draw attention to themselves. Folks, here's the thing. When you fellowship with God privately, in secret, you will want all the glory to go to Him. You will want Him to be exalted. You want Him to be glorified. See, this is why we need this fellowship time with the Lord. It humbles our heart. It keeps us sensitive. It keeps us tender. It keeps us with that stewardship mentality that says, everything is yours, Lord. Even the glory is yours. The praise is yours. Any compliments that anyone give you, you just say, that's not even me. You know that there's no way that you ever did anything good on your own. Amen. Are you here tonight? It's about His glory, His praise, His exaltation. This is why having fellowship with the Father is so important. Amen. This is why we talked about the stewardship mentality. This is why we talk about you got to get out of the victimhood mentality. I'll tell you what, your fellowship with God is never going to be sweet if you're going there as a victim. You know, we talked about this last week. Our prayer time with Him should be more about Him than it's about us. That's right. Amen. I'll tell you what. So what we truly are as Christians is going to be found in the secret place more than it's ever going to be in the public place. Folks, we can be good at both. But I'll tell you what, the works that we do from the Lord, you know, with the Lord and through the Lord, it should come from our fellowship with Him. Yeah. They should flow out of us, out of our desire for His will, out of our hearing of His voice. Amen. Praise the Lord. So I'm going to give you a couple examples of this. Go to Acts chapter 10. Are you getting anything out of this here tonight? Jesus said, depart from me. He said, I never knew you. But yet, think about this. They're casting out demons. People in a public ministry can cast demons out and still the Lord did not know them. Again, the secret ministry is more important to the Lord than the public ministry. Are you here? You know, our secret relationship with the Lord is more important to Him than our public one. Folks, how many of you know we can all show up to church, put on the right smile, shake everybody's hand, but where we really are going to be found is in our fellowship with Him? Oh, praise the Lord. The real you is the you behind closed doors. Go to Acts chapter 10. Go to let's start right there at verse 1. How many of you remember this man named Cornelius? Greatness is not found in what you've done for God. Greatness is found in the depth of you knowing God. How do you know Him? First of all, you know Him through His Word. But then you also know Him through time with Him, through fellowship with Him, through prayer with Him. Remember how Jesus taught us in the Lord's Prayer? He He said, after this manner, pray, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. You know, when Jesus said that, he wasn't giving us a vain religious prayer to recite over and over. He was saying, when you come before your Father, exalt him, glorify him, tell him how holy he is, praise him, worship him, make your time with him more about him than it is about you or your needs. You know, in the Lord's Prayer, he just says, give us today our daily bread, right? Right? Give us this day our daily bread. That's all he says about needs, which is basically a way of saying, Lord, thank you. I will never run out and I'll never lack. It's just that simple. But yet we turn the whole prayer time about our needs, our challenges, our problems. Folks, make your time with God about God. Make it less about you. And I'll tell you what, God will move into your life in a great way. Why don't we make our challenges, why don't we, you know, make our prayer time about us more? Jesus said on the cross, he says, it is finished. What is finished? It is. Everything is finished. The work of God in our life through Christ is a finished work. Say, well, Pastor, I'm still going through this challenge. In God's eyes, it's finished. You know, well, Pastor, I'm going through this. It's finished. But Pastor, I'm dealing with worry and fear. No, it's finished. Good. Pastor, no, I'm going through a financial need. No, it's finished. God has already done everything he's ever going to need to do. Praise the Lord. Acts 10. Look at verse 1. It says, there was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian Band. Wow, these must have been some good singers, you know, instruments and all these things. It's not that kind of band, is it? The word band here is what we would say a regiment. Or, yes, it is a military term. Absolutely. It is a regiment or a company of soldiers. And in verse 2, it says about Cornelius, he's a devout man, one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people, and he prayed to God always. So what do we know about this Cornelius? He was given to the people and always fellowshipping with God. Wow, that's pretty interesting, isn't it? Look at verse 3. Bring up verse 3 for us. And it says, he saw in a vision, evidently about the ninth hour of the day, an angel coming into him and saying unto him, Cornelius. How many of you know that's a big event? Folks, I'm not saying that you're going to see an angel every day of your life. But I will say this, that people that fellowship with God, they are the ones that get to see. There's going to be things that God shows you about your life. There's things that God's going to show you about your future. People that fellowship with God, they're the ones that get to see. And that's just what happened with Cornelius. I can't promise you that you would have this experience with God, but I'm here to tell you that if you fellowship with him, there's going to come a time he's going to show you something. It may be on the inside of your heart. It may be something pertaining to you, your children, whatever it could be. It could be something to pray out for the church or for somebody that you don't even know that well. Yeah. But he will show you things because you're someone that prays all the time. You're someone that fellowships with him all the time. Praise the Lord. And look at verse 4. And when Cornelius looked upon the angel, Cornelius was afraid and said, what is it, Lord? See, he thought this was the Lord God. He, you know, Cornelius, remember, he was a Roman captain in the army. He was not a Jew. He did not know, the covenant of the Jews and so on. He just was doing his best to worship and to fellowship with God. He sees this angel. Cornelius says, what is it, Lord? It wasn't the Lord, but it was an angel. And he said, the angel said unto him, your prayers and your alms, meaning your giving, are come up as a memorial before God. Isn't that awesome? Now, the word memorial there, it's not talking about a memorial service. Do you know what that word memorial is in the Greek? It's the Greek word for a monument. Do you know what a monument is? It could be like, you know, a statue or something that's built in honor of somebody. Think about what's going on here. The scripture says this angel came down to Cornelius and said, because you're always praying, because you're always giving, God has honored you, Cornelius. So you can see this. He had greater success privately than he had publicly. Cornelius never rose, preached the gospel that we're aware of. He never necessarily led too many souls to the Lord. He never performed a miracle that we're aware of. But his success wasn't publicly. It was in secret. Amen. And now an angel shows up and says, God built a memorial or something to honor you with because you're always praying and you're always giving. Isn't that awesome? Would you like God to set something up in heaven in your honor? Think about that. That's what Cornelius received. That's awesome. Why? I'm going to show you why. Two fastest ways of how to know God. Are you ready? Cornelius tapped into both of them. Two of the fastest ways to get to know God, prayer and generosity. Prayer and generosity. He was just simply a man of prayer. He was a generous man, and God moved in his life. Amen. Here he was, praying in secret, God rewarding him openly. The private life was more valuable. The private life of prayer and fellowship with God was so valuable to the Lord that he developed a memorial for Cornelius in heaven. Your prayers, Cornelius, and your giving have come up as a monument before the throne of God. Boy, it doesn't seem to excite anybody in here. I'll tell you what, it should excite us. Amen? What does that tell us? God is looking for people that will do what Cornelius did. Cornelius wasn't praying to get the memorial. He wasn't asking for the monument of honor. He just wanted to know God. He wanted to know who God was. And he learned there these two things. God is into fellowship and God is always generous. Folks, do you believe that God is generous to you? Yes. Then I tell you what, then that'll turn us into a generous person. Amen. Because there was somebody fellowshipping with God, works then flowed. Remember what happened out of this? Remember what the angel told Cornelius next? He said, send men to Joppa. Remember this? And they're going to find one, Simon, and call him back to your house. Remember that? And remember they went and got Simon Peter. And remember that it was there in Cornelius' house that the gift or the baptism of the Holy Ghost fell upon those that were Gentiles. Remember this? How many generations were influenced because God found a man of prayer and a man of generosity whose house was open to the Lord, and generations were forever changed because somebody was fellowshipping with God somewhere. Are you here tonight? Amen. Praise the Lord. I'll tell you what we are is not what we are in public. It's what we are in private. God will reward more the ministry in secret than he will ever reward the ministry in public. Folks, I'm here to tell you, my pastoral ministry, my preaching ministry is not the most important thing I do. Do you know that? Casting out demons was not the most important thing that those people did. Prophesying was not the most important thing they did. God is saying the most important thing you will do any time of your day is to fellowship with him in the word and in prayer. Amen. To know him. To worship him. Oh, praise the Lord. And folks, the reason why I'm preaching this is because there are so many things, right? How many of you know life gets busy? Have you seen all the pressures on people? Whether you've got kids, grown kids, little kids, whether you've got a business, job, all these things, that we have to take care of. Everything in life is working overtime to keep us out of that secret place. Everything in life is trying to keep us from that place where we close the door behind us, worship God in secret, worship him, pray to him, right? Ask him questions, fellowship with him. See, everything in life is trying to stop this, trying to, turn us away from that. But if all of a sudden our life has become the only part of Christian life that we have is a public Christian life, If the only Christian life we have is going to church, if the only Christian life is that, you know, we see people at church, we have Christian friends, you know, we talk the Christian lingo, we talk the churchy talk. You know what I'm talking about? If that's all that we are as believers, we are failures. I'm not calling you a failure. I'm not calling me a failure. I'm just preaching the word that I believe that God's given me. That you know, when Jesus said over there in Matthew 7:23, he said, I told them, depart from me because I did not know them. But yet they did wonderful works. You can have an extraordinary public Christian life, but still be a failure. And I'm here to prevent that. God's here to prevent that. God says, listen, all those good things are going to happen. God's saying, come unto me. Fellowship with me. Spend time. I'll tell you what. A few minutes alone with God will produce more fruit than just, you know, hours of public ministry. Do you know what I'm saying? You know, it cannot be by our strength. It cannot be by our might. But it must be by what? The Spirit of God. Are you here? Amen. Say, well, Pastor, let's get back to that original question. Who goes to heaven? Those that want it. Those that want it. Those that desire and call and are unwilling to go without the will of God. Even if you're at a low point in your Christian life, I'm here to tell you, God's calling you back in. You're not turned away. You haven't missed it so bad that you can't get right back in with God. Go to Acts chapter 13. Cornelius, what a guy. What an awesome, awesome way to get to know God. Prayer and generosity. Look at Acts 13 and verse 1. I love this. It says, now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers. Uh-oh. Now we've got public ministers, don't we? These are people that are called in the church to teach the word that have a public ministry. And it says there was Barnabas, Simeon, that was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, and Manian, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul, which is the guy that became the Apostle Paul. So we see in this scripture, there were five ministers. All right, there's five prophets and teachers that are mentioned in verse 1. Look at verse 2. Praise the Lord. It says, and as they ministered to the Lord. Don't you love that? You know, yes, a minister has to study. Yes, a minister has to do a lot of reading. But notice what these ministers were doing. They were ministering to the Lord. What does that mean? That means that they were just alone with God, fellowshipping with Him, worshiping Him, praying, spending time with God. They were ministering to the Lord. And it says, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. Notice the Holy Ghost decided to speak when somebody got together and started to minister to the Lord. How many of you know they were not there to minister to their own needs? They were not there to ask the Lord for anything. They were not there, you know, bringing their troubles to the Lord. They weren't, you know, desperate. They weren't panicked. It wasn't about their challenges in life. They said, Lord, this time is about you. This time is about fellowship with you, worship and praise. And as they just made God their focus, the Holy Ghost spoke and said, now separate two of these men, Saul and Barnabas, and sent them on what we now call the first missionary journey of Paul. Have you ever looked back there and all those colorful maps in your Bible? How many of you, you know, very rarely go and look at the colored maps in the back of the Bible? All right. I confess, I'm not back here in this section all that often. But you will have a map in there called the Missionary Journeys of Paul. All right. And basically, long story made short is that Paul went throughout that region and started church after church that spread Christianity all across the world. And what was happening was It all came from because somebody, just a group of five men, were just ministering to the Lord, worshiping Him, glorifying Him. How many souls were touched and reached because of what those five men were doing there that day? Are you here? Folks, I'll tell you what. You know what your kids need more than anything? Is you in fellowship with your Heavenly Father. Do you know what your life needs more than anything? To be in the light of God's presence. Not saying that you're not. All right? I am saying that I do realize that there's a ton of pressure, a ton of distractions these days. I mean, I bet we won't ask for a you know, lifting of hands, but have you been distracted before? Yes. I've been distracted before. I've allowed the works of God to pull me out of fellowship with God. That can say, well, Pat, do you know the greatest distraction of my fellowship with my Heavenly Father in my life is? It's ministry. Sometimes it's so easy to get caught up and just think, oh man, I'm studying the Bible and I'm preaching and I'm talking to people, I'm counseling people over here, I'm praying for this person over here, I'm doing all this stuff for God. And all of a sudden, you know, the Lord will speak to me and say, yeah, you're doing a lot of great things for me, but what are you doing with me? Oh, come on now, we've all been there. And then it's like, wow. And then I get directed and helped even by a message like this. We've all got to be reminded that the greatest pursuit in life is not what we do for God. It's what we spend with Him. He's the pursuit. God would rather have you fellowship with Him and never cast out a demon. Not saying that you can't. I'm just saying He would rather have you know Him without casting out a demon, without prophesying, than to cast out demons and prophesying without knowing Him. The secret ministry, the secret life with God is the most important thing to Him. Paul and Barnabas, that man Saul there that's mentioned in that verse, he's the one that became the Apostle Paul. He went on to write 14 out of 27 New Testament books. Has anyone ever been changed by the New Testament? Anyone ever been helped by the New Testament? Where did that come from? Somebody who would just separate himself to minister to the Lord. I guarantee you, whatever you're facing in this life is going to go a whole lot smoother if you and I will do this. Yeah. Are you here? So, well, Pastor, how long does it take? Why do we even ask that question? Why do we ask that question so many times? Pastor, how long do I have to pray? No, the question is, how long do you have to pray? It's, aren't you glad that you get to pray? Yeah. Don't put a time on it. Don't put a time on it. I mean, don't do that to God. Don't say, well, I've got to sit down. I've got to accomplish a certain amount of time. No, 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 no. The goal is to minister to Him. See, the word minister here, it means to take care of the needs of somebody else. See, we forget that God has needs. God needs to be praised. He needs to be worshiped. He needs to be glorified. Yeah. Amen. The Lord has needs. Are you here? But Pastor, I don't ever pray anymore. Be careful about that. See, now what has happened is your Christian life has become public and it's no longer private. That's dangerous. I'm warning of that just because it can happen to us and it happens to a lot of Christians. If the only Christian life you have is showing up to church or serving in church and you know, playing the good Christian part and just, you know, dropping your tithe in the bucket and, you know, and reading Christian books and talking Christian talk, I'm here to tell you, that ain't Christianity. Christianity is fellowship with God. Who's going to go to heaven? Those that do the will of the Father. Father God, I need your will more than anything in my life. Father, I want to know you. I want to have your ways. I call on you. I bow my knees before you. Father, I thank you. I praise you. I worship you. And it starts to become more about Him and less about you. More about His strength in your life than anything that you could have on your own. Do you get some help here tonight? I'm just going over my notes. making sure I didn't miss anything. What you do in secret is far more important. Now, before you leave here all discouraged, am I saying you're not going to heaven? No. I'm saying stir up the desire, because it's so easy for desire to go cold in our life. Remember those five things that I keep warning everybody about in the last days? Five warnings that Jesus gave in the very last days, right? He said, number one, don't be deceived. Remember that? He said, two, don't be troubled in your heart. Meaning, he didn't say you can't go through troubles. He said, don't get troubled in your heart. He said, three, don't get offended. Right? He said, four, don't betray one another. And he said, five, don't let the love for things of God grow cold. How many of you know it's so easy to let the love of things of the things of God grow cold? All of a sudden it's like, well, my word life is cold. My prayer life is cold. You know, we've all been there. You know, I'm just saying, like, if you're in this place where it's like, I don't do anything with God, I don't, you know, fellowship with Him. Folks, I'm just here to tell you, it's dangerous to allow the only Christian life you have to be public and then have no secret life with God. That secret life that none of us can see, that's the most important element and aspect of your life. That is everything to Him. Amen. Cornelius tapped into that. You know, Cornelius just realized, oh my goodness, you know, God's doing something great. And all Cornelius wanted to do is know God, fellowship with God, and give. Generosity and fellowship with God. Amen. These five teachers and prophets, all they did were ministering to the Lord, and God did something great. The sirens are coming to get us. Can you hear them? Did you get something out of this here tonight? Well, all right. Three of you did. Let's pray. Praise the Lord. Father God, we love You. We praise You. Lord Jesus, when You taught us the Lord's Prayer, Lord, You told us, You said, don't be like the hypocrites who stand in the synagogues and on the street corners and just desire to be seen publicly. Lord, You said hypocrites are those that only have a public ministry. Lord, we don't just want to be those that our public life, our public Christian life, is the strongest element of our Christian life. In secret, the secret ministry, the hidden place with You. Father, we just bless You tonight. We glorify You. That is where we will find our greatest success. That is where we'll do our greatest works for You. Father, we know greatness is not found in the quality of the works that we do for You. It is found in the depth of knowing You. Thank You, Lord God. Blessed is Your name. Father, we just receive this heart. We receive this word. And Lord, if we've got to be challenged, so be it. Lord, if we've got to be corrected, so be it. Lord, I think every single believer at one point or another, or at one time or another, would have to confess that there's times when we just allow our personal fellowship with You to go very cold. Lord, I'm seeing this all throughout the body. All throughout the body of Christ. The devil is working overtime to just distract and to bring down, to pull you away from that secret place with God. That's where you're going to find your answers. That's where light and darkness will be separated. That's where those things that are trying to hold you captive are going to be broken off your life. That's where you're going to get answers for your future. That's where you're going to get direction. Seeing are for those that fellowship with God. Seeing what God has for you. Seeing new direction. Seeing those instructions. He'll tell you and lead you into things to do for Him. And those works will have eternal value. Whew. Lord Jesus, You said that those people that prophesied in Your name and cast out demons, even though they did all that in Your name, it had no eternal value because they didn't know You. It didn't come out of a place of fellowship. It came out of a desire for they themselves to be seen and to be known. But Father, when we fellowship with You, we want You to get all the glory. We want You to be seen. And so, Lord, we just praise you tonight. We glorify you. With all heads bowed, every eye closed, before we dismiss, ask yourself this question right now, just quietly in your heart. Ask yourself, have I made Jesus Christ the Lord of my life? Have I personally invited Jesus into my heart? Well, the Bible says in Romans 10:9, it says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and if you believe with your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Salvation is not Family Church's idea. It's God's idea. God sent his Son, Jesus Christ, 2,000 years ago to come to this earth, to go to that cross, to take the sins that you and I had committed. And Jesus bore the punishment. He became the sacrifice for our sins. And now the Bible says that if you will declare him as your Lord and Savior and believe that Jesus was raised from the dead, you shall be saved. Or we could just ask the simple question, who wants to go to heaven? I do. But I'm not looking for fire insurance with Jesus. I'm not looking just to stay out of hell. God doesn't have that program. Of course, being saved does keep us out of hell. But what I'm saying is God wants someone to come forward and say, save me, Lord Jesus, and I want to know your will for my life. If you're here and you want your sins to be washed and you want to start a life where you seek God's will for your life, if that's you, I'm not going to call you up front tonight. I'm not going to walk up to you. I'm not going to make you stand up. I'm not going to send somebody for you. But right there in your seat, eyes are closed, heads are bowed. If you'd say, Pastor, I need Jesus in my life. I need to be saved. And I want to start doing the will of God in my life. I want to go to heaven. If that's you, the only thing I'm going to ask you to do is to lift your hand for about 2 seconds. When I see your hand, I'll have you put it right back down. You'll hear me say, I see that hand, you can put it down. And then I'll lead the entire congregation in a prayer, and right there in your seat, you can invite Jesus into your heart. If that's you, could you lift your hand now, please? Is there anyone here that you'd say, Pastor, I want to be saved. I want to go to heaven. I want to do the will of God. And it takes time, of course. Meaning, you know, we get saved and then, you know, the process begins. We start obeying God the best we know how, and we'll learn as we go. But if you need to begin that process, if you need to step out and just say, here I am, Lord, I need to be saved. Can you just lift your hand now? Anybody before we pray? Just want to make sure I didn't miss anybody. There's a few faces in here I don't know, and I know there's many Christians in here. I need to be sure. Father God, I don't see any hands. So Father, I trust that we're all walking with you. We know Jesus is our Lord and Savior. And Father, we believe that 2025, this brand new year, right now, this is a good time to jump back into prayer with you. This is a good time to bow our knees, to go before you, worship you and fellowship with you, to get into your word, to learn who you are in a greater measure, to seek your will with all of our hearts. And Father, we just bless you tonight. We glorify you. Father, we just praise you. If you're here tonight and you say, Pastor, I need to rededicate my life to you, meaning to the Lord. That you're here tonight and you say, Lord, I need to rededicate my life. Pastor, I need to rededicate my life to the Lord. If that's you, could you just lift your hand real quick? Is there anyone here within the sound of my voice who'd say, I need to rededicate? I see that hand. Thank you. You can put it down. I see that hand. Thank you. I see those hands. You can put them down. I see that hand. God loves you. I'll tell you what. It's a brand new year. Great opportunity. Father God, we just love you and praise you. Let's all just go ahead and pray this prayer of consecration before the Lord. If you're a born-again believer and you know it, you know Jesus is your Lord and Savior, pray this prayer along with me. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I praise you. I worship you. I glorify you. Tonight, I dedicate my life to serving your will. I will obey you. I will follow you. And I will fellowship with you. My goal is to know you, to know who you are, and to know who I am in Christ. In Jesus' name, Amen and amen. Did you get some help here tonight? Let's go ahead. Let's stand to our feet and let's praise and worship the Lord, and we'll be dismissed. Folks, don't forget there is some refreshments back there. Let's just glorify God and we'll be dismissed. Father, we just bless you. We glorify you. You are holy and good, worthy of praise and glory. Worthy of praise and glory. Father, we know that we heard a very challenging message here tonight. But Lord, I just believe I'm standing in front of a church that steps up to that challenge. And Father, we bless you. And Father, we just give you all the praise. And we give you all the glory in Jesus' name. And everyone shouted, amen. You are dismissed.